Thanks for checking out the podcast of the Church at Lake Travis. If you have any questions about our church, visit us online at churchlt.com.
Yeah, well, how are we doing, church? Good morning. My name is Lee Rutter, and I am the associate pastor here at the Church of Lake Travis. We are glad that you are with us this morning as we are finishing up our 21 days of prayer. This is 22, so if you've been fasting, today is a day of celebration. We're glad that you guys are with us this morning. Jeremy is out of town. He is out at his mentor's church, A2 Church in Alabama, and so he is bringing the word, speaking about miracles and healing there this morning. God's done a lot of that in the lives of their family this last year. So he's going to be bringing the word out there, and I'm with you guys this morning. So anyway, we appreciate you guys hanging out with us. If you are a guest this morning, let me just say, take the opportunity. We appreciate you spending some time with us. We really do. And if you didn't have a chance to meet somebody this morning, let me do it now. Welcome. Thank you for coming. One thing I did want to mention is in your bulletin, we have a little thing, a connection card. It's a little tear-off page, and so I just want to encourage you, rip that off, put it in the faith box in the back. We love to get to know you a little bit better. We've had lots of guests come over the last couple of months, and it's just so cool calling them. I'm the one who calls and kind of gets their story, but it's been a lot of fun just finding out where they're coming from, where they are in life, and so love to get to know you just a little bit better, but thanks for hanging out with us this morning. We are finishing up the series that we began with the start of 2018, and this is what it is. We are trying to we realize that for many of us, we have uphill hopes, but we have downhill habits. And so through this series, this four-week series, which we're finishing up today, we are trying to turn our uphill hopes and align them with some uphill habits. And so today we're going to be finishing that up. Maybe you got into 2018 and you're like, you know, I know that New Year's resolutions are a thing of the past, but I think there's still something to everybody here. Maybe you did that. But when I asked a couple of weeks ago, everybody was like, oh, that's so 2017, Lee. And anyway, but I think with every new beginning, we always say, hey, this is something I want to accomplish. And so maybe this year you were like, I want to lose weight. I want to learn to play an instrument. I want to try some big career change. Whatever it is for you, maybe you decided I am going to do something new in 2018. Well, you can hope these things will come to pass, that they will get in place. But as Derek said a couple of weeks ago with his midday devotional, hope is not a strategy. It won't get you there. Hope is a great motivational tool. It really is. But we need some steps to put in place. And so through this series, we've looked at four major areas of our lives that we've said, let's look at some steps that we can put into place so that we can accomplish these different things, which I'll recap here in a few minutes. Aristotle said this. He said, we are what we repeatedly do. We are what we repeatedly do. That's a great definition of a habit, right? It takes 21 days of habit. There's 21 days to create a habit. There's no secret that we did this 21 days of prayer with the hopes that you guys would create some positive habits so that you can begin to match your uphill hopes with some uphill habits. But there's one big motivational factor that we're going to look at today. It's especially towards the end that maybe you're missing. Maybe you're new to this whole church thing, or maybe you're kind of new to the faith and you're still figuring this out. But one big change agent that you may be missing to help you match your uphill hopes within some uphill habits is God. God is the biggest change agent of your life. Whatever you have done in the past and that you're trying to change, whatever you're trying to overcome, even if you didn't make a New Year's resolution, whatever you want to do in 2018, I want to assure you, my friends, that the number one way to make that happen is through God. Why is that? Because many of these things, these habits, and even these hopes, they're outward things. They're outward things. But what God does is he comes on the inside and begins to help us make change from the inside out. He helps us accomplish those outward goals. And he does so from the inside. So the number one thing that you may be missing that I hope you catch at the end of today is what Jesus can help you accomplish in your life. And so you really want to tap into that. Check out this passage from Romans 12, 2. This is in the Message version. It says this: fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. The best way to match our uphill hopes with uphill habits is to tap into God. When we fix our attention on God, as the passage says, the rest of the passage then goes on to tell us, he begins to bring this change from the inside out, and he transforms you and brings the best out of you. So the habits that we've looked at for the last couple of weeks, the first 3 weeks, habit number one, anybody remember what we did with habit number one? Let me give you a hint. It was the first of our year. There you go. Was it up there? Did he get a jump on me? So habit number one, what we do first. First things have power. What we do to start off our day. What we do with the first day on the job, the first day back at school. What we are going to do with the beginning of our hour, the beginning of this minute, the beginning of the next breath. First things have power. And so we looked at first, the first thing that we need to do is start off with God. We need to take God into consideration of all this. We need to look at how to have a God-first life. Habit number two, we looked at how to control our thoughts. If you want to make up, if you want to match your uphill hopes with uphill habits, you want to begin to change your habits, you need to begin to control and change the way we think. So we looked at our thoughts. The third one, the habit number three, we looked at how we can keep our life aligned with our purpose. Keep our life aligned with our purpose. Our purpose is critical, isn't it? It's why we exist. Now, who is it that created your purpose? God. If you're coming to church here this morning, we believe God created you and that there he also therefore created your purpose. And so when we tap into God, thank you for coming this morning, continue to do so throughout 2018, we believe that God will then help you find your purpose, meaning in life, your place. And let me tell you, there's no better way to put your head to the pillow at night than knowing that you've accomplished what God intended for you today. Can I get an amen? That's a great way to go to sleep at night. And so that's our third one. We've been looking at keeping our life aligned with our purpose. Fourth one, this week we're going to finish with habit number four, which is choose our relationships carefully. Choose our relationships carefully. We're going to look at relationships. Let's pray and we'll get to work. Let's bow our heads. Dear Father, we just thank you for how you speak to us, and we know that you are here this morning. That's an awesome thing about coming to church, God, is we know that we get to be in your presence. And so, Father, we want to hear from you this morning. I thank you for Micah and Chris and Audrey leading us the band. And just, God, I pray that you begin to speak to our hearts through what we sing, speak to our emotions. But now we want to move on to what we think. And so, Father, I pray that you'll just help us to see that our relationships really are an important part of who we are, who we can become. And I pray that you'll speak to us about the number one relationship that we should have in our life, and that's a relationship with you through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. God, pray that you'll speak to us about that this morning in Jesus' precious and holy name. And all God's people said, amen. So our relationships, those people who we surround ourselves with, the culture that we place ourselves in, it's critical. It's critical. Students, I just want to speak to y'all for a couple of minutes, but parents, this goes for you as well. I mean, it goes for parents. But students, show me your friends today, and I will show you where you will be in 3 years. It's a direct indicator for who you're going to become. Catch this passage from 1 Corinthians 15:33. It says this, it says, do not be misled. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. You can have great character. You can have a great start to life, great start to your year. But the fact is that who your friends are directly has influence over who you're going to become. I had a couple of cousins that when I was in my 20s, I would take them fishing with me, fishing and hunting. And it was just a chance to mold and to mentor them, hang out with them. And I enjoyed just hanging out with them. They were cool kids. But they were a lot younger than me, about 6, 8, 10 years younger than me. And one of them was just going down this wrong path. And so I was individually fishing with him this day. And I asked him, I said, hey, tell me about your friends. And he started telling me about his friends. I asked some more questions and kind of got the lowdown on who they were. He starts telling me about his friends, and he's like, yeah, one of them is living with his parents. He's 30. There's nothing wrong with that. But he said he's still stealing from his parents. He told me about another friend of his that was literally dealing drugs. He was a dope dealer. Show me your friends and I'll tell you where you'll be in 3 years. You want to know where my cousin was in a matter of 3 years? Driving a U-Haul full of weed across the border that he got caught for. Thankfully, they were more interested in his bad friends who had priors. They went after them the most, and God spoke to him through this. It became a big change agent in his life, and he got on the right path. Show me your friends today, and I'll show you who you will be in 5 years. Parents, this goes for you too. We may think that we can control our relationships to only find that they are controlling us. And let me assure you, parents, there are things that our affluence and influence in Lake Travis leads to that are negative things. We don't talk about them because we're great at being pros of putting on this image, right? But it's there. We know it. We know there are things that go on in Lake Travis that are a pull for us. I've heard the stories. I've had parents come and say, I moved into this community. I got in with the wrong crowd. I got led down a wrong path. We started, and I remember this one family, they're like, man, we need church. And so they started coming because they realized we need some positive influences. Parents, it applies to us just as well. We've got to watch our friends. Who we are hanging out has direct impact on us. Proverbs 27:19 says this. It says, a mirror reflects a man's face, but what he is really like is shown by his friends. What you're really like is broadcast to the world depending on who your friends are. Another key, the second relationship point that we want to talk about is that important key is that we may need to nurture our important relationships. We may need to nurture our important relationships. What are our two most important relationships? Anybody want to take a shot? What do you think? What's our two most important relationships? God, family. God and family, that's our two most important relationships, and we need to be nurturing them, pouring into them. Couples, you need to hear this. Besides your relationship with God, the number one thing that will impact your family is your relationship with each other. And now there is a triangle caught up in that. I do believe in God at the top, you at the sides. The closer you get to God, the closer you'll get to each other. I'm a real big believer in that. So God's directly a part of your relationship. But then you need to look at each other and say, am I nurturing that? Are we going closer together? Or are we going apart? You need to nurture that relationship. There are things that you need to do. Some of y'all may be here and you're like, but Lee, the fire just isn't what it used to be. Let me make sure you hear this. The answer is not in new wood. It's not. It's not a new relationship. It's the nurturing of it. You can make your relationship whatever you want it to be. The key then is in the kindling, is in the fire starter. Like the kids say, some of y'all need to get lit. You know what I'm saying? You need to rekindle your fire. You have direct control over that. I remember, let me just say this. Some of y'all may be here and you're like, but Lee, I've had these conversations with friends, but the grass is greener. You know, you just start growing apart. You start looking around you. That's the next step. At other relationships, other men, other women. And you're like, but Lee, the grass, look at him, look at her. The grass is awfully green in that pasture, right? You show me a green pasture and I'll show you a person that has high water bills. You know what I'm saying? Now, I'm not saying that she's high maintenance. That's not what I'm saying, guys. What I'm saying is it cost both of those people an incredible amount to build that relationship into what it is. It cost them a lot to have a green pasture. My friends, if you've got a great lawn, I don't. Some of y'all's relationships look like my lawn, right? Patchy, little weed over here, a lot of weeds, a lot of bare ground. My neighbor, God bless them, they water their lawn. I wish they didn't because then it would make my lawn look better. But they water it. Like all the grass is dead right now, but it's still like there's this thick, even in the dead of winter. And mine's like down to like I got a couple little sprouts left. Man, some of y'all, that's your relationship because you aren't nurturing it. You're not putting time into it. It costs you something to have green grass. I love how Proverbs says this. It says, be happy with the wife of your youth. I love that passage. Be happy with the wife of your youth. You chose her at one point. You were happy with her. How do you get back to that and begin to build that happiness back into your relationship? I remember reading this book. I read this book before I got married. And it was, I think it was by Dobson or Swindoll. Both of them are Christian counselors, and they write a lot of books, great books. And so anyway, the book title, I remember it was Saving Your Marriage Before It Starts. And so I wanted to read it. I wanted to have a long-lasting marriage. And so I read this going in, and he kept on saying, it was funny, he's a great book writer, because he kept on saying, I will tell you the secret that will make your marriage last. I'll tell you, every chapter, I'll tell you, don't worry, it's coming. I'm just like, tell me the secret, man. Finally, the last chapter. I mean, I might as well have just skipped ahead. I think he knew that, so he put it at the very last chapter. But he tells you, he says, I'll tell you the thing that will save your marriage before it starts. I love it. He says, buy a boat. All the men in the house are like, yes, boat show this afternoon. Man, I'm down with that. Let me tell you a little bit more about the backstory of the why behind the boat. So even though he's a Christian counselor, even though he's a great man, even though he writes a lot of books, he was saying, he was like, look, my wife and I were growing apart. And in her wisdom, she realized that. And she knew that we need to rekindle, restoke the flames. And so she said, we need to find something that we can do together. And so she recommended a boat. They needed to find something as they grew older to build some common grounds between them. And some of y'all may be here and you're feeling like you're growing apart. Buy a boat. So he says this. He says, look, we're out. We bought a boat at her behest. I'm like, yeah, what guy's not excited? Bigger, faster boat. So anyway, they're driving across the lake. And he looks over and his lovely wife has just grimaced, grabbed onto the seat, white knuckles. And so he stops the boat, family's in the back, and he's like, babe, what's up? It doesn't look like you're having a good time. She goes, I hate boats. He's like, babe, what's up? This was your idea. This is something you came up with. And she's like, yeah, we just needed something that our family could begin building new memories. Something that we could do together. And he says, okay, babe, if a boat isn't the thing, what is it? RV, she says, before he like even finished the sentence. Let's get an RV. And so literally there was one of those, you know, every lake has a storage unit right around it. There was apparently a RV that was out front of one of the storage units with a for sale sign. They traded the boat for an RV right there on the moment. And he said, all our family's memories were built around that RV. And this is interesting. He said this. He said, luckily my wife and her wisdom realized we needed to rekindle the fire and find something that we could do together. He said, with men, he did, as a Christian counselor, did a lot of counseling. He said, this is interesting. He said, even though I'm working with the men, they're the ones coming to me receiving counseling. I always interview the family. And he said, whenever I interview, invariably what I find is with a couple with a family that's struggling is the man has exchanged his family. It's not nurturing that relationship anymore, but instead the one that he's fostering and nurturing is either his career or his habits or his hobbies. And they're putting their passions, their life, their everything into their career and hobbies. And so he said, it's so sad because I always ask the family stories. What stories do you have? He said, a lot of the men, their families don't have stories that they can tell. He said, but if you ask my family for a story, they would tell you about all the natural disasters that we experience in the RV. And even though they had some major disasters, he was like, they would tell you with laughter in their voice and joy in their heart. Because we were doing it together. And they would tell you about the time that we got stuck in the hurricane at Disney. They would tell you about the time that we got stuck in a tornado on the Texas Panhandle. They would tell you about the time that the wheel fell off in a small town in Kansas. Hello, how many of y'all want to be stuck in Kansas in a small town for a week? But their kids had a blast. The point is this. Some of y'all need to nurture your relationships. Find some things that you can do together. I'm telling you, it'll work. We had somebody give us a boat, thank God, this last year. I have so many awesome memories. It's a 15-foot boat. We packed it out with like three families. Man, we had people, kids hanging off the outside of the boat as we're driving down the lake. We had to put kids on the tube because there was no more room on the boat. But we would go out. I've just got memories of all of us floating, and Candace and I go out floating. And the kids, their favorite thing to do, I met this friend at the boat show last week, and he's got grandkids. He's like, we're looking into what to get for the family now. He used to have a big formula and fast, and now he's like, grandkid, pontoon boat. And I'm like, no way, you in a pontoon boat? This is race car Ferrari guy, literally. Took me out in his Ferrari. Now he's going for pontoon boat. He's like, we need something for the kids. I'm like, let me tell you, the number one thing that kids want to do is jump off the boat. They just made our kids ladder on the back, run through, jump off the front of the boat. I've got so many awesome memories. Find something to nurture your relationship. This family helped us do that. We're so thankful. Here's the third one. Here's the third relationship that we may need. Here's something else that we need to do in our relationships. We may need to restore a broken relationship. We may need to restore a broken relationship. Restoring a broken relationship, I want you to know, sure, it's going to be a painful thing. But it is less painful than the ongoing pain that that relationship is causing. It is. Know that. Hear that. If you have some difficulty in your relationship, it is more difficult to just finally deal with it than to allow it to continue. Last year, I had a relationship that was causing a lot of pain in my life. And I had to have some very upfront, honest conversations. They weren't easy for me. I mean, I went into them with sweaty armpits and dry mouth because I was nervous about the way the conversation was going to go. It wasn't easy. I would always make sure not to attack when I talked to the person. I would make sure to say, I feel this way. You're making me feel, instead of you is attacking. But I remember going on a park. I just walked through a park. I just said, bro, we're meeting. Let's go. Hour. You and me, BK Park, walking around. All the moms are like, that's weird. I didn't care. I was trying to restore a broken relationship. But let me tell you, and let me say this, they weren't ready to engage in their side of the equation. They weren't ready for that. They weren't ready to play ball. They weren't ready for reconciliation. So in my heart, what I had to do to continue the conversation after I share with them, that's Matthew, go to the person first. Don't start gossiping about them. Go to the person first. That's what I did. Talk to them. I did that. They weren't ready to play ball. But in my heart, to continue the relationship, I had to restore, in order to restore the relationship, I had to offer forgiveness. I had to offer forgiveness, even though they didn't feel like they needed forgiveness. The key to us offering forgiveness, even in the midst of our pain, is to remember what we have been forgiven of. That's the key to forgiveness. Maybe you pray it daily. It comes straight from the Lord's Prayer. What does the Lord's Prayer say? Forgive us this day as we forgive others. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others. You see, forgiveness is an uncomfortable equation when you think about it. That prayer is a frightening prayer. We are telling God, God, forgive me based on how I forgive others. And let me assure you, my friends, I'm not talking about the person that is easy to forgive. That's not the person we're talking about here. We're not talking about the person that stole your third grade girlfriend. Get over it, right? We're not talking about the person who borrowed your tools for a little too long, all right? We're talking about the person that's your arch enemy in life. That's who we're talking. We're talking about the person that you're in a Marvel cartoon, and there's good, and there's evil, and in your mind, you're good, and they're evil. That's the person we're talking about here. As much applies to you in this situation. We need to offer forgiveness to them. We are forgiven as much as we forgive them. Colossians 3:13 repeats this concept of the Lord's Prayer. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Forgive as much. There's a forgiveness equation to life. It's interesting how that happens. A fourth habit. That we may need to build into our 2018 is to then sever harmful relationships. Sever harmful relationships. This is something that I had to do with this person. Now, let me just say that I had to continue an ongoing relationship with that person. I had to, but I began to sever at my heart in certain ways. That may mean that we need to redefine that relationship. We may need to put up boundaries. That's what I had to do. We may need to redefine it in the sense that they are family. And we've all thought about family and the way that we respond to family. But in this type of situation, we have to redefine the way that we think of family and how we respond to them. We may need to build some guardrails, some boundaries in our life to protect ourselves and sever that relationship in our heart. I had to do that. I had to do that to protect myself, to protect to my family. Some of y'all may be here and you need to sever some flirting relationships. It may have not gone full bore, what it could become, but you may need to sever some flirting relationships, some Facebook relationships, some work relationships. that relationship may not be healthy for your, is not healthy, let me rephrase that, is absolutely not healthy for your spouse. You need to be above reproach. You need to protect your heart. You may need to sever that relationship. Put some distance between you and them. I heard a story about this couple. It's sad, but funny. Who was cheating on each other, this married couple, and they're cheating on each other at the same time with different people. And so they're cheating through social media, talking to these other people that are not their spouse. And they finally decide, you know, let's evolve this thing. And so they decide to meet. So through social media, they set up a meeting place and a meeting time. And when they show up, they found out that they were cheating on each other with each other. The other spouse showed up. And you might say, oh, how awesome. Because even in the mystery magic of love throughout the universe, they still found each other. That's not the way it worked out. They ended up severing the relationship because they were so upset that they were cheating on each other, with each other, that they ended the relationship. Some of y'all may have some Facebook relationships, some high school reunion relationships, some work relationships that you need to distance yourself with, that you need to set up some guardrails and some protections in your heart. Proverbs 13:20 says, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. Again, relationships, our culture that we surround ourselves directly impacts who we become. A companion of fools suffers harm. The final relationship habit we may need to initiate we need to initiate some meaningful relationship habits. We may need to initiate some meaningful relationship habits. Our default, especially as men, is to not do it. Let's just be honest, men. We're like, I don't need anybody else. I'm good, right? I can do this on my own. Women, does that kind of make it sound about like it is, right? I don't need no directions. I'm good. I don't need anybody else in my life. I'm good. Men, as our default, we're just kind of wired that way. But I want to assure you, we need other positive relationships. I have a friend in my life who's gone through a divorce in this last year. And so often when people do that, and I've seen this with some of my friends, they just immediately find a rebound. They need to replace that love with somebody else. But I love how he's gone about it. It was difficult. It was hard on him. And he did some things at the beginning that were not positive for his life. He knew that. He knew that. But he came to a place where he said, you know what? I need positive men in my life. I need you. I need others. And I love the way he went about seeking that out. My friends, we absolutely need positive relationships in our lives. A couple of opportunities that we do that through here at the Church of Lake Travis is through our men's ministry and our women's ministry. Great opportunities to plug in with some other solid dudes. Solid women. Our men's ministry meets for Man Church. We meet for Man Church. I just feel like I got to do that. Man Church. Whenever I do that. But they meet on the first Wednesday of the month. And then they do a variety of opportunities, hangouts throughout the year. In fact, this next Saturday, we're going to be doing a barbecue crawl. Did it last year. We showed up. They had a car show. What was better? Classic car show and barbecue on the same day. I was walking around like five men's heads literally just exploded as they saw the car show. And we're like, oh my gosh, it's a 1966 Stingray Corvette. Come here. And all of a sudden, they're like 11 years old again. You may need those positive relationships. We provide them. There's opportunities. Next Saturday, come hang out with us. Check out some of our guys. Some of you ladies, you need positive relationships. Our women's ministry meets on the third Wednesday of the month. Great opportunities. If you're interested in either one of those, I want to encourage you. In our bulletin is that connection card. Write men's or women's ministry. Tear that off. Put it in the faith box on the way back out so we can get you some more information. But great opportunity to just seek out some of these relationships. Hebrews 10:25 says, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. Some are in the habit of doing. But let us encourage. We need encouragers. Let us encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. So how do we master this relationship habit? How do we get good in 2018 at these relationship habits? Four things. Four things that I'll give you real quick. Four things that will help you build our relationship habit. Number one, develop my relationship with our church. develop a relationship with a church, whether it's here in the Church of Lake Travis fits you, or it's Austin Ridge, or it's Lakeway Church, or it's Acts Church. Find a church that you can own. Don't just attend it, own it. There's a big difference between attenders and owners, right? I mean, we want you to come to a place where you love your church. And so if that's here or somewhere else, realize that God is working through the local church, and therefore he will work through you. One way that we can become owners and not attenders, I tell us parents with students, this is so critical. In 6th and 7th, 8th grade, they come to church. A lot of these guys are in 8th grade because of their friends. They're what I call bike riding friends, friends that they grew up with. And so their friends are going to church, and so they're going to go to church. But then they get 9th and 10th grade. A lot of these guys are about to go through this. They're in 8th grade, and they're about to go into 9th grade, and they start deciding, am I going to own my faith for myself? Or is it going to be my parents' decision? Is it going to be my friend's decision? A lot of their friends decide not to come to church. So then it really comes to critical mass. Am I going to continue going? Two ways that we can really drive home the ownership in your student is through serving and missions. A bunch of our kids serve. And it is so powerful to see them serving and using the way God has shaped them for ministry. And then them connecting that with God's purpose for their life. It's powerful. Another thing is missions. In a couple of weeks, we're going to be going to Roatan. A bunch of families are going to Roatan. And that's an incredible opportunity for them to gain a bigger picture for the adventure that is outside of the church, outside of Lake Travis. That's a big opportunity. I remember hearing a story about a family in a book that I read, and they were sharing about how their daughter was just going down the wrong path. And he finally realized she needs a bigger adventure. She was dating a guy that they didn't approve of, had friends that were taking her down the wrong path because she was seeking out this adventure through them. And he realized, as a family, we need to create something big. We need to raise the bar for what we want them to accomplish. They decided as a family that they were going to build an entire orphanage. And they themselves were going to raise $250,000. They laid it out. They brought out a chalkboard. They didn't even know what they were going to do. And he was like, $2,000, whatever, this is what we're doing. The daughter begins getting up and just chalkboarding, whiteboarding this out, dreaming up. She ditched the boyfriend. She got on the right path because he gave her a bigger vision. They built the orphanage because he gave her a bigger vision for what God can do in her heart. That's a big key. So serving, missions, families, this is parents, this is true for you too. We want you to own it through attending, through serving. Ephesians 2:19 says, you are members of God's very own body, very own family, and you belong in God's household with every other Christian. We want you to hear that. Maybe you're hanging out with a family that's invited you. Maybe you're checking out this church thing. You belong here. You belong in the family of God. And so we invite you to be a part of it. We're going to have our Next Steps class after church on February 11th. Be right after church. We make it easy on you. We'll lay out what we do, how you can become a partner. That's what we call ownership here. How you can become a partner of the church and serve and give back and own your faith for yourself. So February 11th, come to that. Mark it on your calendar. One other opportunity that we provide, well, let me say this. The second thing is to develop a relationship with godly friends, develop my relationship with godly friends. Acts 2:44 says, all the believers met together constantly and shared everything with each other. The way that we do this here at the Church of Lake Travis is through what we call house churches. And they meet on Wednesday nights from 6 to 7:30 at a variety of different houses throughout the Lake Travis area. Let me just say, my house church is awesome. I would love for you to be a part of it. In fact, in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be inviting you, because in talking with you through the connection card and connection process, I found out kind of where you live. And so I'm going to be talking about, hey, you'd be in my house church. You'd be in Jeremy's house church. We want you to be a part of it, because there are incredible opportunities to know and to be known. Our house church laughs a lot. We cry. We do life together. We read God's word and we apply. Sometimes we show up with a list of questions. We never even talk about them, because we just get rolling on the subject matter of what God's doing in our lives, and we just start wrestling or rejoicing in that. They're powerful things. And so Wednesday night, 6 to 7:30, I want to encourage you, if you're interested, and again, just put that on a connection card, house church, you want to join one. Third one, develop my relationship with a team. develop your relationship with the team. Ecclesiastes 4:8-9 says, there was a man all alone. Are you here today and you're feeling man or woman all alone? He had neither son nor brother, describes his aloneness. There was no end to his toil. His life was just caught up in his work. And at the end of the day, he was like, what is this all about? His eyes were not content with his wealth. Two are better than one because they have good return for their labor. They have great return for their labor. A great way to get plugged into a team, to become a part of a team here at the Church of Lake Travis is through our ministry teams. We have a children's ministry right now that are going on that are loving your little ones. We have a connection team that greet out front. We have our setup and tear downs. We have a bunch of different teams, opportunities. Look into your purpose. We'll help you find it and how you can connect through a team, our setup team. How many of y'all are on our setup team, tear down team? Raise your hand. Man, I love these guys. I'm on it. I'm glad to be on a team with them. And let me tell you, it's not easy. This morning, we show up early. It's cold. We're standing outside. It's cold, is it not? We're all like, it's cold out here. It's early. They're here way before you guys. You guys are like, oh, coffee. Hey, babe. That's the stage that you're at. These guys are lugging. It's like a CrossFit workout, lugging like 500-pound boxes up a hill. First thing in the morning, get your heart going. They stay after you guys are already eating lunch. They stay late. But let me tell you, they do it joyfully, and we have a blast. Why is that? Because we're part of a team. We talk. We share stories. At the end, I love it. We pray together, and I love it because it's all these guys and these women, especially the dudes. At the beginning, they're kind of like, I don't know. I'm good. I don't need any prayer. Now they're like jumping in. I need prayer for this. I need prayer for this, man. We get rolling. It's so cool. So become a part of a team. If you're interested in becoming a part of a team, again, just put that on the connection card, put it in the drop box. We love to get you a plugged in. The last thing is develop your relationship with God. Develop your relationship with God. Jeremiah 29:13 says this, if you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. Even though this is the last point, this is the most significant one. It's the most significant one for you to get today. God wants a relationship with you. He wants a relationship with you. What are you doing to develop that relationship? What are you doing to nurture that relationship? I hope that during these 21 days, I hope that maybe you've either given up something, fasted from something, or just maybe it's fasting your time and it was just regular commitment to prayer, 6 a.m. prayer. That's a commitment. Maybe you woke up at 6 a.m. to participate with Church on the Highlands. I know a bunch of y'all have done that, but watch Church of the Highlands worship service. And so 6 a.m. is like a new habit, a new time that you've created. Now you have the space that Church of the Highlands isn't doing it. Maybe that could be a beautiful time for you to wake up and spend time communing with God and praying. That's a habit that you've spent 21 days forming. What is it that you're going to do ongoing from here? You've started the habit. How are you going to continue nurturing the relationship? Let me tell you about what God's done for you. Let me tell you about how far God has gone to build this relationship with you. God takes the first step. He takes the first step. And John 3:16 says this. John 3:16 says, for God so loves you that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, that he gave his only begotten son so that you will have eternal life with God and will not perish. That's not just, when we talk about fire insurance, when we talk about eternal life in that passage, it's not just fire insurance. It's not just your get out of hell free card. Maybe that's why you're here today. My hope is that you'll move on to realizing what you're gaining is a relationship, and God's built that through Jesus. And you gain eternal life with Jesus. As the band comes out, we're going to come to our communion time here in just a minute. And this is your time, my friends. Y'all bow your heads and your hearts here in just a minute. The band's going to do another song, but this is your time to allow God to begin to connect your purposes with him. Most importantly, for you to connect in a relationship with him. He's given his own son, Jesus, to die for you so that you can have eternal. God didn't want to just spend 5 minutes with you. He didn't want to know you for just, he didn't want to move in and out of your life. Eternal life. God wants to know you. And so as we come to this time, my friends, maybe you're checking out this church thing. and somebody's invited you here, or you saw our Facebook page, or you saw our website, or whatever it is, I want you to know that God wants to be known by you. And so maybe you need to start that relationship today. It's as simple as praying this: God, I need you. God, I'm sinful. And I know that through Jesus Christ, you have overcome that sin. And so, Father God, I want to start this relationship with you today. It's that simple. We're going to have our prayer team in the back. You can pray with them. This is going to be your time. You can spend time praying with them, starting that relationship. A second thing that we can possibly do is that maybe you've been coming for a while and you're already a believer. You're already in that relationship, but you've been coming to the church at Lake Travis for a while and you wonder how it is that you can get plugged in, that you can own the church. Again, sign up for one of those ministry teams. Become a part of a house church. Come to the partnership class in a couple of weeks on February 11th. On February 11th, we're going to have a ministry team appreciation party, and this is for everybody. We announced it earlier. If you did anything, mega sports camp, kids ministry, greeter, if you've done anything with us, gone to Roatan this last year, we're going to have a blast celebrating that. Maybe that's going to be your first event. How cool is that we're going to thank you before you've even started for all that you're going to do? Amen? That's going to be a blast. We got an awesome entertainer coming, and before you've even started, we're like having a pep rally for you. Come to it, February 11th. But a lot of opportunities to own your faith. Start out with your relationship with Jesus. Second, begin a relationship with your church. This is your time, my friends. Bow your heads and your hearts, and you'll spend some time in prayer. The band's going to do another song.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. Our mission is to lead people into a life-giving relationship with Jesus Christ. And our prayer is that you are closer to Jesus as a result of listening today.